Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 to 44. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 to 44. The title is The Thanksgiving God Desires. The Thanksgiving God Desires. I'd like to read Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 to 44. Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, In the seventh month of the first of the month you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing a trumpet of holy convocations. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On exactly the tenth day of the seventh month is the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your soul and present an offering by fire to the Lord. Neither shall you do any work on this same day, for it's a day of atonement to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his peoples. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his peoples. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generation in your dwelling places. It is to be a service of comfort less to you, and you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evenings. From evening until evening you shall keep your Sabbath. Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, On the 15th of the seventh month is the feast of booths for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do not laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do not laborious work. These are the appointed times of the Lord which you shall proclaim as a holy convocation to present the offering by fire to the Lord, burnt offering and grain offering, sacrifice and libations. Each day is the matter of its own day. Beside those of the service of the Lord, and beside your gift, and beside all your votive and free will offering which you give to the Lord, on exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with the rest on the first day and the rest on the eighth day. Now, on the first day, you shall take for yourself the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches, and both of lipteous trees and the willow of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in the booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths. So that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the sons of Israel the appointed times of the Lord. This is the word of God. Amen. Every year on Thanksgiving Sunday, churches around the world observe a festival to give thanks for the grace God had bestowed throughout the year. While the outward origin of the Thanksgiving date we observe today began with the American pilgrims. Today's passage shows that God had already established a festival to giving thanks for the grace he bestowed, enabling them to gather the produce and the fruit of the land throughout the year. The Israelite festival related to the Thanksgivings that we observe is the Feast of the Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of the Booths. It is a festival for storing and giving thanks for the fruit of the year's labor, making it the festival with the same context as the Thanksgiving. However, there is something we must note carefully. As seen in today's passage, we can observe that all the festivals are connected over a 2-week period beginning on the first day of the seventh month. Specifically, the Feast of the Trumpet, Rosh Hashanah, the verse 24, on the first day of the seventh month, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is verse 27, on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the Feast of the Tabernacle, Sukkot, the verse 34, is observed for 7 days from the 15th day of the 7th month until the 22nd day. Thus, the entire month of July, Tishri, in the Jewish calendar, the first month making the start of the new year, is filled with festivals culminating in the Feast of the Tabernacle, also known as the Feast of the Ingatherings. First, the Feast of the Trumpet, the Hebrew is the Shofar, signals the starting point to the Israelite blowing the trumpet to announce the new year and especially the beginning of the journey toward the Feast of the Tabernacles. In an era without the widespread clocks or the calendars like today, this trumpet blast instilled great vigilance in the Israelite peoples. The first mention of the trumpet blast in Scripture occurred when God appeared to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, where they first experienced his presence and where he was about to establish the Sinai covenant. You can see that the Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 to 19. I like to read is the 16 and the 19. So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Verse 19, when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with the thunders. Amen. This trumpet was also used to assemble the people of Israel. According to the Numbers chapter 10, verse 2 to 3, Moses is ordered to them, I like to read, make yourself 2 trumpets of silver, of hammered wood, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for having the camp set out. And when the bows are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Thus, the trumpet served as a call to alert God's peoples to his presence and to gather them to meet him. This trumpet will also be sounded in the last days. At the time of the Lord's final return, the God trumpet will sound together and his chosen ones. According to the Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, Jesus said, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the 4 winds, from one end of the sky to the others. And also in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Apostle Paul talks about this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels and with the trumpet of God, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Thus, the Jewish feast of the trumpet become a prophetic festival for us in the last days. It serves as a signal for the Lord's return and marks the day announcing the beginning of the end. That is, the Lord appointed the Feast of Trumpet on the first day of the seventh month to declare, now the final festival, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of the Tabernacle are beginning. Wake up! It is time to awaken even from sleep. We know that the Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul talk about this. And this do, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. Amen. And 10 days after the Feast of Trumpet, on the 10th day of the 7th month, he is appointed the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. This 10 days period is called, Hebrew is Yamin Doraim, the days of awe, referring to the 10 days of repentance beginning with the Feast of Trumpet. Though it may seem to apply only to the single day of the 10th of the Tishri, Jews regard Rosh Hashanah as the beginning of repentance. They call the 10 days from this day until Yom Kippur the 10 days of repentance, 10 days of awe, Yasharit Yemi Teshuvah. These 10 days signify that God is near calling us to prepare by the repenting and approaching Him with reverence and awe. The number 10 represents a completeness, making this the final period for thoroughly repenting of all our sins. For without the thorough repentance, we will inevitably drink the cup of wrath at the final judgment. Therefore, from the very start of Rosh Hashanah, the task for the people of Israel is to afflict themselves. You can see verse 27. And those who did not afflict themselves were to be put to death. Verse 29. This command to afflict oneself does not mean to harm oneself. Literally translated, it means to humble your right, the soul or self, the afflicted. That is, it means to thoroughly deny oneself, humble oneself before God, and entrust everything into God's hand. So is a Psalm chapter 51, verse 17, is the expression about this part. I like to read, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. But since Adam's fall, though we humans has not even known we were sinners, instead we considered ourselves the righteous and failed to repent thoroughly. Therefore, the Lord Himself humbled Himself to the point of death for us, entrusting everything completely into the Father's hand and showing us the example of repentance. Let's look at the Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the culmination of this was the cross. The Lord himself endured suffering for us. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 to 6, is that the scripture prophesies about this. I like to read, but he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like a sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Amen. And also is the apostle talk about this at the Rome chapter 8 verse 3. I let it read, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned him in sin in the flesh. Amen. Therefore, we who believe in Jesus must also follow him, crucifying our sinful fleshly desires and passions on our own crosses. Let's look at the Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. And I give you another one, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The deny himself, that is a contrite, right? Contrite himself. Only such individuals are truly recognized by God as those who have afflicted themselves. For saints living in the rest days, these 10 days are the final period of repentance to welcome the Lord who is coming again. Now, by receiving Jesus Christ, it is a time a daily put to death my rich self and obey the word. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The Apostle Paul is confessed like that. I prefer my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And also, the Apostle Paul speak about at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. Amen. So it is truly a period of being reborn as the disciples of Jesus. So Jesus Christ talked to us one more time. I like to read Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is a period when we must fill our lives with the path of suffering that the Lord worked before us for the sake of our church. The Apostle Paul said, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ the afflictions. Amen. Also, this day is the day when the high priest entered the most holy place once a year to make atonement for himself and the people before God. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 to 8, the talk about the day of atonement. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offered himself and for the sins of people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. This way into the most holy places was opened through the redemptive event of Jesus Christ's cross. So Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 talk about this. and not through the blood of goat and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy places once for all, having obtained eternal redemptions. Amen. By the power of the Jesus shed blood on the cross, we have been forgiven and declared without sin, and he has lifted us up to the place of a priest who can boldly stand before the presence of God. So in the Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20, they talk about this. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Amen. Next, the Feast of the Tabernacle is correspond to the climax of the Thanksgiving season observed for 1 week starting on the 15th day of the seventh month. The Feast of Tabernacle is one of the most important feasts among Israel's festivals. It is a festival where we offer the joy and thanksgiving of the harvest to God, while simultaneously is remembering the hardship of the wilderness days and the blessing of God's presence. For 1 week, we go out into the wilderness and live in booths, daily hoping for the land flowing with milk and honey promised by God, and ensuring we do not lose the face of our beginning as we follow the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and the Ark of Covenant. By following immediately after the Day of the Atonement, Sukkot is a festival that helps us realize the joy after atonement. After suffering and reverying for the church and for his purpose, being recognized by God and entering heaven with joy. Furthermore, offering sacrifice daily during the Sukkot is for us living in this world to continually commune with God. The offering is the means of a fellowship with God. Furthermore, the Feast of Tabernacle is a time to reflect on whether we have truly become fruit that the priest God. Amen. As Matthew chapter 3, the wheat is gathered into the barn, but the chaff is burnt. Then today's on Thanksgiving should be a day of thoroughly examining whether I truly am good fruit, an actual sheaf of grain fit to be stored in God's granary. The climax of the Feast of Tabernacles is the eighth day, just as Jesus, by rising on the eighth day, transformed the existing Sabbath into the Lord's day. The conclusion of the Feast of the Tabernacle is not the Sabbath itself, but the day after the Sabbath, the eighth day. This signifies that sin has been atoned for and the new day has dawned where God's eternal righteousness reigns. Amen. Beloved saints, let us not forget that we have all been invited today to a place where, according to God's command, we must prove ourselves to be good fruit received by the Father at God's chosen love first church, demonstrating that we ourselves are the good trees planted by God. May we all become those who shine like the sons in the Father's kingdom. I pray this is the name of the Lord. I'd like to read and we finish of the sermons. I'd like to read Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Let us pray together. Today, we first give the infinite glory, praise, and thanks to our beloved Father for His great grace and love. Though we have to celebrate the country's harvest Thanksgiving Sunday, we are gratefully He has made us realize that today is a precious time to confirm whether we have truly become fruit worthy of being stored in the Father's barn. All is the Father's grace. We thank you for enabling us to hear the final trumpet call, the word of redemption history, and for helping us recognize these are the last days. We thank you for leading us to diligently examine ourselves. Is my faith truly that which the Father acknowledges? Is Jesus and the Holy Spirit truly living and active within my spirit? No one knows. Only the Father knows. In the Holy Spirit's help, may each of us thoroughly repent, bear the fruit of the Spirit, the Father's desire, and lead many souls to the Father's through evangelism. May we all become those who shine like the sun in the Father's kingdoms. In all these things, we pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.